I'm a prophet. You're a prophet. Everybody wants to be a prophet. Today, we're moving beyond the titles and into a deeper understanding of what it means to function in the role of prophetic leadership. It's all right here, right now, and only on the Five Gifts Podcast.
You're listening to the Five Gifts Podcast, a weekly show designed to equip leaders in the Spirit-filled church. I'm Bruce Ritter, and along with my co-host, Charles Russell, we offer insights for leading the local church in the fullest expression of Jesus. If you're interested in learning more about practical theology, the gifts of the Spirit, and spiritual disciplines, this is the show for you. Welcome to the Five Gifts Podcast. Welcome to the Five Gifts Podcast. We're glad that you're checking with us today. Of course, as always, it's a Monday for us. But we're excited to be here, and we hope that you're able to catch us on your way to work or maybe on a lunch break. And we're just excited that you've checked in with the Five Gifts Podcast. We have some exciting news. We've been talking to you about our servant leadership cohort for those that are seeking a master's or a doctorate. But we've just added a brand new track for bachelor students. If you didn't finish your bachelor's degree or maybe your opportunities were limited to pursue formal education, we have a bachelor's track that will run concurrent with our master's and doctoral program, and we want to tell you more about it.
Are you a Spirit-filled minister ready to take the next step in your ministry training? The Servant Leaders Cohort will help you earn your BA, MA, or DMin. We offer in-person instruction in a small group learning environment that is affordably priced. Instruction happens in monthly two-day intensives in the Triad of North Carolina. Degrees are approved and conferred by Vision Christian Bible College and Seminary. You can earn your bachelor's in 2 years, a master's in 15 months, or a DMin in 18 to 24 months. For more information, go to fivegifts.org/SLC.
Well, today we're discussing the anointing for prophetic leadership. And Charles, I know this is a topic that's exciting to you. Of course, from your intro, I gather that a lot of people like to think of themselves as prophets. Charles, what are your thoughts about that?
Well, you know, the prophet is, that's a popular gift, kind of like the apostle. The apostle and the prophet seem to kind of rise to the top in popularity. We want to be an apostle. We want to be a prophet. And, you know, I think what our message is on this podcast is, we're not chasing the titles, but we want to function in those roles. You know, titles really don't mean a lot, but it is standing in the place that God has established you as a leader and functioning. And today we're talking about the role of prophetic leadership. So, you know, the gift of the prophet as well as the apostle, it can bring a little controversy. People want to kind of separate some denominations, some leaders want to kind of separate themselves from these two gifts, but today we're going to talk about not the title. We're not conferring certificates or we're not giving away titles or positions. We want to dig deep in what is the role of the prophetic leader. How does a leader function? How does a leader stand in that gap and function in the role of prophetic leadership? And so that's, I think that's where we're coming from. That's where I am. I believe you are as well. And in this podcast, you know, we're not seeking titles, but we're seeking God establishing us as people who can function in these roles. So Bruce, what would in your mind, what would distinguish the gift of the prophet from the other ascension gifts of Christ?
Well, when you mentioned distinguished and what distinguishes that gift, I'm thinking that on my certificate, the prophetic star is blue.
Okay.
Where the apostolic star is gold.
It's gold.
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Little tongue in cheek humor here.
That's right.
Yeah, it is a different gift. Jesus gives us five. And, you know, each of the gifts have their own purpose. We talked last week that how the apostolic gift, that's about the visionary leadership, the stewardship of the church. And it touches all the gifts. That's what really makes the apostolic gift a little unique. The Spirit is giving vision. He's clarifying the direction of the church. It's about recognizing the gifts in other leaders and helping place them and train them to execute Christ's missional authority for that congregation. But, you know, I think the apostle and the prophet, they do share some characteristics that we can get into. You know, the pastoral gift is different because it's about the community of the church. It's about spiritual community. It gives the ability to gather, to connect, and to care for the body of Christ. Teaching gift is all about equipping. It's about spiritual formation and getting people equipped for ministry. The Spirit gives that ability, I think, in the teaching gift to recruit, to equip, to empower God's people for service. The evangelist gift is all about gathering those lost sons and daughters, gathering the harvest. Jesus initiates that, I think, in the local church through the evangelistic gift. But the prophetic gift, and I want to make sure people understand, we're talking about the prophetic gift in leadership. I distinguish it from the general gift of prophecy, because this is generating spiritual life, where the Spirit gives the ability to discern, to declare, and to stir the activity of God among the people. And that I think that's important to remember. I personally am of the conviction that everyone can be filled with the Spirit. Everyone can prophesy, but there is a distinction in that gift exercise in leadership as opposed to just the general use of that in the body of Christ. And two, you know, I think, and there's an important word that we need to attach to the prophetic gift in terms of one of its characteristics, and that is it's an initial gift. And, you know, Charles, you do such a great job explaining that it doesn't mean that the gift is a primary gift in terms of its importance. It's an important gift in sequence. That's Jesus uses the apostle and the prophet in the formation of the church. It's like first grade comes before second grade. You can't get ahead of the order that Jesus uses those gifts. So again, what we see in scripture is it's where Jesus begins to form his church. I'd even say, if you look in the Old and New Testament, that's how God was initiating the kingdom. I think that's where he brings in revelation and insight, points people into God's directives. And that usually is, you know, the office of the prophet is a key leadership role that gets people moving in that direction. And so in the local church, it's one of the first gifts that Jesus uses in the formation and even the revitalization of the local church. So it's an initial gift in those terms. But it's also an initiatory gift. And I was trying to think I had that thought, and what do I mean by that as I was preparing for today? And I think what I mean by that is it brings a prophetic voice alongside the vision that's conveyed maybe in the apostolic gift. And again, it contributes to the formation of the local church. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20, you know, mentions one of those examples of where the prophetic and the apostolic are paired together. And Paul writes, he says, together as the church, you know, we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And again, we've tried to explain this in the past, but you know, many people would look at that as a historical statement of the church's formation, that it was those apostles in time, those prophets in time, through which the church was established. But you know, we continue to say that the church is still being formed in the earth. It's still the ongoing work of God to establish his church. And so it still requires the office of the apostolic gifting and the prophetic gifting. Again, not the titles, but the function, the activity of Jesus, working through empowered people that have apostolic gifting, people that have prophetic gifting. Usually those are really important in the establishing of the church. And so, Jesus is initiating his works, the gift of the prophet, I think, to orient people toward the Father's plan toward the Father's will. And it just brings the attention of the church, again, from that prophetic leader into the activity of God. You know, Luke 24, verse 19, Jesus is referred to as a prophet. And so it's consistent with his character. It's consistent with his ministry. It was prophetic in nature. And in fact, he says, you know, therefore, whatever I speak, you know, the things that I declare, the things that I teach, the things that I'm speaking over your lives is just what the Father told me to speak. So again, the prophetic leader is a voice of communication that is conveying God's will, his directives to the people. And, we're doing a study in our church on Wednesday nights and Sundays right now on the trial, the crucifixion, and the resurrection, you know, obviously leading there as we get closer to Easter. But, you know, Jesus' own ministry, he prophesied of his crucifixion, his resurrection, his ongoing ministry in countless prophetic images. And again, it was a way of conveying what the Father had ordained, what the Father had willed. In fact, you know, when it tells us that, and when Jesus says, I'll be lifted up, well, John says he was signifying to us the way he was going to die. We didn't know that in the moment. You know, John didn't have revelation, but it was when they saw Jesus raised on the cross. John goes back and says, that's what he's talking about. When he's lifted up, he'll draw all men to himself. And so there's a prophetic understanding when Jesus he's operating in that role. He's giving people the understanding of how the kingdom works, how redemption works. And so we want to come back to that as we talk about some of those issues in our podcast today.
Well, Bruce, as vital as the gift of the prophet is, what does the church risk when it minimizes prophetic leadership and anointing?
That's a great question. I think if the prophetic gift is lacking in the local church, if there's no activation of it in leadership, then what happens is the spiritual levels of prayer, preaching, teaching, worship, they're too low for individual church transformation. And when the prophetic gift is activated, then you see, and those are going to be activated through prayer. It's going to be activated through preaching because it's a communicating gift in leadership. And when it does, then you see a strong vitality in the church. You see that church is genuinely God-centered. They're very attentive to the word of the Lord, the directives of the Lord. They operate with a high sense of vision and purpose. And that brings a climate and a culture for transformation. So I think that maybe gives us a picture of why the prophetic gift is so vital. Charles, what are some of the steps that you see that we need to take to implement that gift, the prophetic gift in leadership?
Absolutely. You know, the prophetic gift in leadership, it directs the congregation toward God. So again, that's prophetic leadership moves the people. It moves the body towards Jesus. In Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 and 38, We read these words. It says, Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. So again, we see the body of Christ is moving closer to Jesus. We've got to love him with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind. This is a movement, an advancement towards Christ. And so that's what the prophetic gift in leadership does. I really like the distinction you made earlier that, between the gift of prophecy. That's what we tend to focus on when we talk about we want to be a prophet, is we want to operate in that gift. And, I need to be careful kind of some of the words I use and say. But, we're not there just to read people's mail. We're not there to strike fear in the hearts and minds of believers, because they know that we're that man or we're that woman that can read you like a book when you come in. I remember I was on a missions trip in Jamaica, and we were going to the church for a service that night, and they told us that, you know, they told this bus full of teenagers going in, all right, now look, we're just going to tell you there's a particular person in this church. They operate in the gift of prophecy, and said you better be right with the Lord, because he or she, I'm trying to keep this generic here, they'll call you out and read your mail, you know. And so here we had a repentance, a come to Jesus meeting on the bus. You know, everybody's trying to get right with the Lord before we go to church. But I guess in that sense, we move closer to the Lord. But we're not talking about scaring people to Jesus or putting fear in the hearts and lives of people. We're talking about how does the prophetic gift lead within and form up the body of church and advance and move the church forward. And the prophetic gift leads the church by leading the body of Christ into relationship with Jesus. It stirs up, it inspires a hunger and thirst for more of the Lord. So with that being said, we're leading the body of Christ towards Jesus. With the activation of the prophetic gift in prayer, again, that's where all the gifts begin. The activation of all the gifts begin in prayer. And today, the gift of the prophet, we're activating through prophetic prayer. Congregational spirituality is stirred up. Now the whole church is being stirred. It's not just one person, but the entire body is being stirred. They're being moved through the gift, through the leadership gift of the prophet. Prophetic preaching and teaching is being declared. And again, these are not just messages that just kind of placate the believer. They're not placeholders. Well, this is what I do on Sunday morning. These are messages now that are leading the body of Christ into a deeper relationship and fellowship with Jesus, into a more intimate relationship, into a more intense pursuit of Christ. And now prophetic worship begins to enter in, and it inspires, it lifts the body of Christ. So just begin to think about that that continuum or kind of that process there. What if as the prophetic leader in the church, what if now in the body of Christ is beginning to align through prophetic prayer, congregational spirituality is being stirred through passionate prayer. It's being declared through prophetic preaching, and now prophetic worship is inspiring the body. Can you see how the body begins to be knit with prophetic leadership, and now the entire body is moved towards a closer, deeper, more intimate, and passionate pursuit of Christ? That's what initiating the prophetic gift looks like, and that's what it yields. So let's talk about a few action steps. You know, it's great to have a vision of what this can look like, but we need to have some steps in place of here's how we walk this out. So the first action.
Charles, before we get into this, can I ask you something?
Sure.
Now, this is one of those questions where I know the answer, but I'm wanting you to speak.
Well, I'm glad one of us knows the answer.
No, I wouldn't ask you if I didn't think you knew it. When you know, I know there's probably going to be someone listening to us, and they're thinking, "Well, I'm not a prophet. I'm a pastor, but I can do that. I can stir up that spirituality." Tell me when we look at it, if that prophetic gift is lacking in the church and the spiritual levels are too low, why is it important that we invite the prophetic and don't just try to deal with it as a pastor or a teacher? Maybe I can teach spirituality. Why is the prophetic so important?
Well, it gives voice to the vision. You said it earlier. It gives the prophetic gift and leadership gives voice to the vision that the apostolic gift has conveyed. And so you need the vision needs to be vocalized. And there needs to be spiritual power, spiritual passion that that is transformational. The teaching gift was wonderful, but it's also informational. The pastoral gift is wonderful, but it's a relational gift, and we need all those working together. We need this prophetic gift with power and with passion that is transformational. It gives voice to the vision of God. It's not that we're, you know, standing on the mountain saying, "Thus says the Lord," but in a sense, we're declaring, this is what God is saying. This is what Jesus is praying over our church. You know, if it's true, and I believe it is, that Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father, making intercession over us as His body, over the local church. In this instance, then that prophetic, inviting the prophetic gift to come in, aligns the church and helps the church come into agreement that now we're praying what Jesus is praying over His church. And so it brings the body into alignment. And when we're in alignment with Christ, there's power, there's passion, there's transformation that comes. It elevates the relational gifts of the pastor. It elevates the teaching gifts of the teacher. And so all these gifts now begin to come together and work in power and with passion for transformation that initiates movement to see vision fulfilled. So,
amen. Good answer. Good answer.
All right. Well, thank you. Appreciate
it. You checked all the boxes on that one. Give us the steps for implementing the prophetic gift.
Sure. I think the first step we need to take, the first action, like I said a moment ago, is prayer. We want to invite Christ's prophetic empowerment to flow through leaders so they can discern Christ's will, so they can declare God's word, and so that they can inspire spirituality. So we begin this in prayer. Again, that's where all the gifts begin, is in prayer. But again, we're talking about the prophetic gift. We begin by praying, inviting Christ's prophetic empowerment to flow through the leaders. A next step to take after that is we want to encourage private devotions, private and devotional time with the Lord. You know, God's a sovereign God, and He can certainly do anything that He chooses and doesn't need our permission to proceed. But it seems like the pattern is, it seems like God tends to move it in a pattern from the inside out. And so we're beginning in this private relationship. Encourage private and devotional time with the Lord. We want people building this spiritual discipline. You know, we encourage 5 out of 7 days a week for at least 15 minutes a day of private worship, private devotional time. And, you know, there's a number of ways that can facilitate private devotions, private worship. But we're saying this is the next step. Begin to call the leaders into private and devotional time with the Lord. And I know some might say, well, don't we need the whole church to do that? And I would say, you know, if you can get the whole church, that's wonderful. But if you can concentrate this in your leadership team, that can really raise the tide of spirituality within the church. Now, obviously, you know, everyone that wants to be in this initiative of private devotions, private worship, bring them along. But you're especially cultivating this in the leaders and the workers in the church. So encourage private devotional time with the Lord. The next step of this would be moving from the private now into kind of a semi-private gathering. And in this gathering, we're going to urge passionate prayer for the body, for the church, and for the kingdom. And so we've done episodes on passionate prayer teams and that kind of ministry. So go back and you can review some of those episodes. But this is not a public prayer meeting. This is a prayer meeting that's by pastor invitation only. It's in a semi-private room or a setting, and in that setting, in that gathering, we are praying for the body, for the church, and for the kingdom. The third step that we're encouraging prophetic leaders to initiate is in the public arena. So we've gone private, semi-private. Now we're in a public gathering. So this step would be to declare the word of God through preaching and teaching, to connect the body with God through the worship of the Spirit. So this is think of this as maybe your Sunday morning worship celebration or your Sunday morning gathering time. Listen, this is not just a box to check off or something that we have to do. These are the moments when the church comes together publicly and corporately. We're all together at one time, and those are not throwaway Sundays. These are moments to declare the word of God through prophetic preaching and teaching. These aren't just the kind of pick me up, feel good sermons, but this is the prophetic voice of God. Again, we're spending time listening. What is Jesus praying over this church? Those are the messages that I want to be, as pastor, as a leader, that I want to be communicating to his body. If Jesus is praying certain and specific things over his body, I want to communicate those things. So prophetic preaching, prophetic teaching, and then connect the body with God through the worship of the Spirit. We want this to be Holy Spirit-inspired worship, Holy Spirit-led worship. Now, that doesn't mean Katie bar the door and everything goes and it's just a free-for-all kind of a deal. Listen, Scripture teaches us there's order, there's a proper way that we worship. But again, look, we're unashamedly Pentecostal. We're not embarrassed about that, and we're not saying our way is better than another way, but what we are saying is this is who we are. And so we're encouraging, listen, if you're a Spirit-filled leader or Spirit-filled church, Pentecostal church, kind of in those arenas, go for it. Go for it. You need Holy Spirit-inspired, Holy Spirit-led, Holy Spirit-empowered worship services, public corporate gatherings. And I know the resistance, the pushback is always, yes, but come on, Charles, I agree with you. But we have so many mainline denomination, visitors that are coming in, and we have to accommodate them. We don't want to scare them off. And listen, I understand that tension. I get that. I'm not diminishing that in any way. What I am saying is that they've already watched your services before they've stepped foot in the door. They've been on your websites, they've been on your social media channels, they've watched your services as you live stream. They've looked at your beliefs, and they've been on the About Us section on your website, and they've checked out what you believe. And listen, they know the deal. People are pretty smart and sophisticated. And so they've researched, they've kicked the tires on your church before they've entered the door. I think by and large, most people, they understand what they're stepping into. They're coming because they're desiring more. And look, Pastor, lead prophetically. Stand in that gap and allow God to establish prophetic leadership in that church so that as people come that are hungering for more, that are wanting more, that they receive more, that they find out this is the place. This is the place that I can come and experience more of Jesus, the more that I've been longing for in Jesus. Don't shy away from it. Now, again, you have to pastor. You have to steward well the moving of the Holy Spirit. Be bold in that. Be direct and be confident. God's established you there to lead this church. So do that. Lead and pastor the move of the Holy Spirit. There's order should be there, and there's instruction. The Scripture gives us instruction in how we're to worship. But don't don't silence the moving of the Holy Spirit, and let your worship services be Spirit inspired, Spirit empowered, because I'm telling you, people are coming because they know that what this church claims to be, and they're longing for more of the Lord. Now, look, is everybody going to stay? Some people are going to get scared, and they're going to. They may not ever come back. But look, be who God has called you to be. Lead this church in the manner of the way God has established you as the leader to lead. And let prophetic leadership elevate and lift this church to a place of Spirit empowerment in that community. And I just believe that you'll be surprised at the feedback and at the response and at the connection that a lot of guests and visitors can make to the church, and I believe you'll be pleased with how Jesus elevates and intensifies spirituality in that church as we take these steps to initiate prophetic leadership. All right, so I got on my soapbox and preached a little bit, but the last step I want to say here is, as prophetic leader, in this local body, you want to direct the leaders of spiritual life to meet spiritual and human needs according to their talents. And so you're going to take a kind of that helicopter view and begin to develop leaders, train leaders, place leaders, so that according to their gifts and talents, in a manner that they can begin to meet the spiritual and human needs of this body. Well, Bruce, I've talked entirely too long, and before I take up an offering, why don't you help us with some practical takeaways from initiating the prophetic gift?
Well, it's such good content today, and not to toot our own horn, but really good content today, and I think we're offering people something good. You know, as a spiritual leader, take Charles's words to heart. I think one thing that we can offer our communities, and this is, we can't offer everything to our community, but one thing I think is an authentic connection with God, a genuine encounter with the presence of God. And I think that requires us to be people that are pursuing God. That's why, you know, as we see the prophetic gift, as we understand it, that's why it's so vital. I think, that probably surmises at least one of my takeaways, that prophetic leadership, prophetic ministry needs a radical encounter with God's presence and the empowerment of the Spirit. And so I firmly stand on our distinctive, the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I think it was in Numbers 11 that the Holy Spirit rested on Moses and the 70 elders, and there was such an overflow of that anointing. At least that's the way the passage reads, that, you know, there's a couple of guys down in the camp, Eldad and Medad, and so they're prophesying down in the camp. And, you know, one of Moses' supporters, a young man, comes to him and says, "Listen, you got to put a stop to this. They, you know, they're out of order doing that." And Moses said, "You know, I want all of God's people. I would to God that all of them were prophets, that all of them had the Spirit of the Lord upon them, and they could speak prophetically." And I think that's the impact of Spirit baptism, that empowered prophetic speech. And I'm going to kind of stay with Paul in his hip pocket and just echo what he says. Mm-hmm. He says, "I speak in tongues more than you all, but you can all speak in tongues. You can all prophesy." Now, is everyone going to? Obviously, the answer is no. But I don't think that should limit us from inviting everyone to that experience. And we need to keep a priority, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That was Jesus' last words to the disciples, you know, before the ascension. And as you've heard us talk about, we see a correlation between the giving of those gifts of Ephesians 4 and Jesus' ascension and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So, you know, I just think we need to keep that a priority, to keep inviting people into spirit fullness and the empowerment of the Spirit speaking through us prophetically. Amen. That's one of my takeaways, Charles. Yeah. I can probably think of another one at least, but what are your takeaways?
Well, I'm going to give one here. It's probably a 1A and 1B. So that's just an old preacher's trick of saying I've got 2 points, but I'm going to turn it into one. the first would be, listen, prophetic leaders, you need to, sometimes you just got to slow down and assess the relationship between the prophet and the apostle. Listen, Christ gave all 5 of these gifts, but it's on the foundation of the apostle and the prophet. He's forming up and building his church. And so to me, that speaks to relationship. There should be a union. There should be a unity between the apostolic gift and the prophetic gift that's at work in the local church. And again, I'm going to go back, Bruce, to what you brought out earlier, is that the prophetic leadership gift gives voice to the vision that the apostolic gift is conveying in the body. And so, you know, if I'm going to function in that prophetic leadership role, then I've got to understand clearly the vision that the apostolic gift is conveying so that I can give voice to that gift. My role as a prophetic leader is not to stand in opposition to the vision and say, no, we're to go this way instead. No, my job is to give voice to the vision that God's giving and initiating through the apostolic gift. And you know, I mean, the best way to have unity, the best way to work together, I have found is there needs to be a good relationship between those 2 gifts. Both gifts must work as a team to initiate formation, movement, advancement in the church. So I would just say, if you feel like vision is stalled out a little bit, prophetic leader, instead of rising to the occasion and lifting your voice publicly, I would encourage you privately go to the apostolic leadership gift and make sure that there's no tension in the relationship. Make sure that there's no bitterness. Make sure there's no forgiveness that needs to take place. Man, I'm telling you, if the apostolic gift and the prophetic gift can function in a harmonious relationship, God can do miraculous things in the formation, the advancement, and the moving forward of that local church. So I would say 1A, assess the relationship and make sure there's a good relationship. Part B of that, I would say, would be a caution to the prophetic leader. Again, just as an observation in my pastoral ministry, and I function in prophetic leadership, so I get this, I understand this tension too. Oftentimes, as prophetic leaders, we want the right here and the right now. We want the voice from heaven. We want the burning bush, but what I've found, what I've discovered is that oftentimes spiritual leadership, and when I say spiritual leadership, I'm talking about the full complement of the 5 gifts. Spiritual leadership is often systematic in approach and incremental in execution. And so by that, I simply mean this. The apostolic leadership gift is going to work to build systems to facilitate the vision that Christ has given for his church. And prophetic leader, we're going to give voice to the vision. We're going to give voice to the building of the systems. We're going to give voice to the incremental execution of the vision. And I'm telling you that we have to know that as prophetic leaders up front, that it's not always going to be the miracle in the moment. I heard sometimes it's going to be a process over time. I heard a wise pastor, scholar, and leader talking about our default sometimes is to stand and say to the mountain, "Move, mountain." You know, we're trying to move the mountain in one fell swoop. And he says sometimes you move the mountain one shovel full at a time. And so, prophetic leader, I'm just saying, caution. Take caution that it's not always in a moment. A lot of times, spiritual leadership, the advancement of the church, is going to be sustainable. Spiritual leadership is often systematic in approach, and it's incremental in its execution. And if the prophetic leader can restrain him or herself and work in unison with the apostolic vision, then and give voice now to that vision systematically and incrementally, work together, man, I'm telling you, God can just miraculous things can happen. So those are my takeaways for at least practically in the church.
Charles, we could spend a whole series of episodes just on that last point alone, that last takeaway. Yeah. Takeaway 1B. Definitely related to 1A. But you know, I just want to say, along with that, if you consider how Jesus gave five gifts, you mentioned a systematic approach, incremental execution. Well, guess where that execution has to take place? Mm-hmm. It's so normal to have that dynamic moment of revelation, an encounter with the Holy Spirit, and to have insight, and to know that this is the heart of God, it's the plan of God, it's the will of God for the local church, and to declare that in the moment, and to feel like a great victory has been achieved. You know, that's a moment. It's the spiritual high, that thrill of having encountered mm-hmm. the presence of God and speaking. And yet, there has to be. The prophet has to remember. Well, there needs to be a pastoral execution of that plan. The pastoral gift has got to gather relationships together and bring people and connect people in their, you know, in their need and their giftedness. The gift of the teacher has got to be present to equip and to train and to bring people into the systematic roles that they need to play, leading to the gift of the evangelist, which is the not just the reaching of the lost, but it's the output. Mm-hmm. You know, all of those are vital. So this was not originally one of the takeaways I was thinking, but as we're talking, it's coming to the surface that please, prophetic leader, do not exist in a silo. Don't see your ministry isolated from the body. Your ministry is to inform the body, and remember that the execution is going to happen again in a process. And wow, Charles, that was powerful how you brought that out.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, if I could add one more sure. thing, and I think that was such a high point, I don't want to diminish that, but I think prophetic ministry, you know, we're not only, there's not only five gifts, but there's a priesthood to the believer. And I think because the prophetic ministry is tied to prayer, I think it's a point that we need to talk about this morning, but I think prophetic ministry has a priestly mantle. It's not only hearing from the Lord, but it's, you know, the prophetic ministry is centered. It it hears from God, and yet it speaks to people. And so, you know, intercession for the body and the community around us, that's part of our priestly task, to call on the Lord on behalf of our community, to see its needs, to have spiritual eyes, to know and discern what are real needs in this community. To me, it's like Moses and Aaron when the pestilence came on the nation of Israel, and they had to walk, you know, between the people with the incense and standing before God and before the people. We do that, I think, in prophetic leadership. We stand before God. We pray for alignment and fulfillment of His plans. We stand before the people and we call them to repentance. We call them to give heed to the word of the Lord. We call them to obey and to walk in alignment with God's plan. We declare how people can draw near to God. So, you know, there's a priestly role there. And I think that's a good picture for the prophetic ministry, is we stand between God and the people, and we facilitate, you know, that encounter back and forth. I hope that made a lot of sense in my mind. I hope it made sense.
Well, it makes perfect sense. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, we knew, you know, getting into the prophetic discussion today, that there would be some excitement to it. And so I'm certainly energized by it. I hope our listeners are too. And Charles, anything you want to add before we wind things down today?
Just that, you know, don't shy away from the prophetic gift. Lean into it. God or Christ has given His gifts to form the church, and your local church is part of His church, part of His body. And so don't shy away from prophetic leadership. Again, we're not advocating the pursuit of titles. What we're trying to communicate is pursue His gifts, pursue the functioning in those leadership roles. And function in prophetic leadership in your church. And I believe the spiritual breakthroughs you've been praying for, you've been desiring for individuals, for families, for the corporate body that you're leading, I think will begin to come to pass, pastor, leader, as you function in prophetic leadership in that local body. So lean into it.
Amen. Well, we want to thank everyone for joining us today on the Five Gifts podcast. As always, please remember to like, follow, subscribe, share, leave a comment in the section below. You can also message us through the various platforms, which you can find us, whether it's Facebook or YouTube. And you can also reach out to us through our email and our own websites. Again, the fivegiftsfoundation.org is our website. And, you know, we've been announcing our educational cohort for people that are in active ministry. You can complete your bachelor's, your master's, and your doctorate. It'll take you about 2 years for the bachelor's program or the doctoral program. It'll take you about 12 to 15 months for your master's degree. And you can find out more about the educational cohort at fivegifts.org/SLC. I also encourage you to reach out to Charles at his website at charlesrussellministries.com and charlesrusselltraining.com. Charles can put together a customized plan for your development as a leader, whether it's in the marketplace or the local church. You can also reach out to me at coachingcardia.com and learn about some of the customizable coaching opportunities that are available to you there. As always, you can reach out to us at fivegiftspodcast@icloud.com. That's our email address. If you need to reach us personally, please feel free to reach out to us. And remember, next week we'll be right here again on the Five Gifts podcast, and we hope you'll check in with us. And in the meantime, have a blessed week and continue to grow in your gifts in the local church. You've been listening to the Five Gifts podcast. If you would like to take the next step as a spiritual leader, we invite you to visit either of our websites or contact us for leadership coaching. We can help you reach the next level in your own growth and leadership. We provide leadership, spiritual gift, and personality assessments that give you a better grasp of your leadership style. and we also create a customized growth plan that empowers you to reach your full kingdom potential. We can't wait to hear from you.